This is Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon.
It's Flame of Faith here.
This is your old buddy Dave Koz. Have a safe and wonderful holiday season ahead.
This is Darling Love.
This is David Arkenstone. You're listening to The Sounds of Christmas.
Okay!
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have Dan Ashley back with us again. Dan has worked as a leading American television journalist for ABC 7 News in San Francisco, where he has anchored the evening news, let's just say for a while. Hi, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
A while. It has been a while. Ken, it's great to see you. It's been over 30 years, if you can believe it. I'm so glad to be back on with you. It's great to see you, my friend. Thank you.
One of the things I want to ask you right away, and I'm pretty sure I ask about this all the time, but it's the national anthem. It's just so big, and I know you've been asked to sing it at NBA games and Major League Baseball and college sports, and it just seems huge. Is that still a thing? Do you still get asked to do that?
It is. In fact, I just did it a few weeks ago at the final game of the season for the Oakland Ballers, the new minor league ball club there that has become hugely popular. In fact, they won the championship a few weeks later. I love doing it, Ken. It's a challenging song to sing, but I've done it a lot now, so I sort of have my approach to it more or less dialed in. Some days are better than others, but for the most part, I'm pretty consistent with it, and it's just a privilege to be asked. It's certainly a nerve-wracking thing to do, but it's great fun, and like I said, I'm proud to do it.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask. I know you have done it a bunch of times, and I wondered if it gets easier or if it's still really kind of daunting.
That's a great question. I don't know that I would say it gets easier. It's not daunting. It doesn't get easier. It stays the same at this stage. It was daunting when I first started doing it many years ago because it's intimidating and there is nowhere to hide. All eyes are on you. Everything in, you know, the venue stops cold to listen to you do this.
Right.
But I always feel like that people are rooting for you. So it's not daunting anymore. It was, but it doesn't get easier. It just has the same level of difficulty, I find.
Yeah, it's just it's such a big, big song. And hats off to you to be able to get through it. I have sung it in the stands surrounded by, you know, hundreds or thousands of people. So no big deal for me. And if I'm not paying attention and I get a word wrong, nobody says anything.
It's interesting. It's my nerves around it when I do it are now in control for the most part. But my concern was not at first, oh, no, if I mess this up, I'll be on YouTube and everybody make fun of me. I thought if I mess this up, I let the team down, basically. I let this production that I'm a little small cog in during a sporting event, and I just don't want to let, you know, the show they're putting on basically down. So that's the pressure. It's not so much about me messing up and making myself look bad. It's making the whole effort look bad that I worry about.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's kind of a lot riding on it. I mean, once you have done it several times, some of that probably lessens, but it's a big song. It's not an easy song. And there's so many people watching, and you're following in the footsteps of giants. It's just, it's big.
Now you're making me nervous about it.
Yeah, but you don't have to sing it tonight, so you'll have long forgotten this next time.
No, it's true. You know, you are. There are some iconic Whitney Houston springs to mind. Iconic renditions mm-hmm. of the anthem. There are also, if you go to YouTube, plenty of well-known singers who did not so great versions of the anthem. So every time I see those, I think, well, I won't do worse than that. So I'm comforted in it. I'm comforted in that. But it's fun.
I don't want to be the cause of something going wrong at the next one. So we'll move on from that. It's just, I have tons of respect for you just for being able to do that, because it is a great big song. So.
Well, thank you. You know, can I say, I talk about it a little bit when I speak to young people and others, because, you know, to me what it represents, because it was seemingly a bridge too far when I first started singing. And to me, it's a challenge to take on, face your fear, and just don't let anything hold you back from trying to excel. If you don't excel, that's okay. The trying is what really matters in my mind, and giving it your best shot. So to me, it represented a challenge that I wanted to overcome.
Very well said. That's nice. And it's a great way to think about this. I'm not a singer, and a grateful nation thanks me. But I just can't imagine all the things. You know, it's a little bit like, and I hope that this doesn't come across as sacrilegious, it's a little bit like O Holy Night. That's probably one of the biggest Christmas songs, and you got to get it right, and everybody knows it.
I know, it's true. That is the challenge with songs like that or Silent Night. I've done those before as well, and the anthem is certainly that way. Everyone knows how it's supposed to sound. And but that's the fun of it, Ken, isn't it? You know, just trying to, let's see if I can measure up, you know. And I'll tell you, the first time I did it at an NBA game, 20,000 people. And when I sound checked, it was fine. I had a horrible cold that day, unfortunately, but I got through it. The sound check was fine. And what they don't show you, tell you in sound check, you know, the lights are on. When you do it for real, the entire arena goes dark and there's a spotlight on you. And you're just there going, oh, say. I mean, that's intimidating.
I would think it's both good and bad, because with the spotlight on you, you can't see the thousands of people that are there.
That's true. It does white out what you see. But, you know, it's never for me, it's never the numbers of people. It doesn't matter if there's 10 or 100,000. It's just the environment that you're in that causes you some angst. You know, I've been in public so long that I don't think about that. But I did think about not messing it up for the team here and this production they've put together. Anyway, it's good fun.
Yeah. Well, let's move on from that before anybody listening thinks this is just national anthem talk. Nothing against the national anthem. Save your emails. Let's start this time. Usually save it for the end, but let's start with Christmas music and the new single just out, Let It Ring. Where did this come from?
You know, this is a song. Thank you. I really like this song. I had this song in my head, the chorus, for a couple of years, and I just couldn't quite figure out what melody I thought I liked with it, but I had the part of the chorus done, that let it ring, let it ring, let the choir, the children in the choir sing, it's Christmas time. And I just knew it was a big song, but I had envisioned it when I first thought of the lyric and the melody, as more of a fully traditional Christmas song. But I've released a couple of those, and I wanted to do something that was a little more contemporary. So it took me a while to get the melody right, and I finished the lyric, and my wonderful writing partner and friend Bill Bentley and I developed a melody and a sound to the song that was what I was trying to accomplish. And it turned out, you know, sometimes things don't work this way, but it literally turned out exactly like I had heard it in my head, which is fun. Yeah, but I sat on it for a couple of years trying to figure it out.
That's always great when it turns out. I've talked to others that it just they couldn't get it to work. And I think that was sort of what happened with a previous song that wasn't working and led you to My Favorite Time of Year.
You know, that's right. The song that where you and I first met when I released My Favorite Time of Year a few years ago, I was set to sing. I wanted to do a Christmas song because, like you, I love the holidays and I love the music and everything around it. I was set to do another song, a song, I don't remember which song it is now, but it was a song everybody knows, and I want to do my version of it. And the week beforehand, I just didn't feel right. I'm like, I just am not feeling this song. It just, so I literally scoured the internet for Christmas songs, great Christmas songs that you've never heard of, in all likelihood. And I found this terrific song written by the Florin Street Band in the UK. And I reached out to the lead singer and the guy that ran the band and asked if I could cover it. And he said, sure. As soon as I heard the first 15 seconds of that song, I'm like, that's it. That's the one I'm doing. Because it sounds really familiar, but it's not. And I was very proud. He gave me permission. And when I sent him what we did, he said, you know, if the covers that people have done, this is by far my favorite version. So that meant a lot to me. And then I released... I wrote an original for last year that we released, as you well know.
Yeah.
And, but that was my favorite time of year was a cover, but it was a cover you've not heard.
Right. It was not another Jingle Bell Rock. This was one that, and nothing against Jingle Bell Rock, please.
Save your letters.
Yes. I just running the Sounds of Christmas station, I get so many versions of Jingle Bell Rock sent every year.
Oh, I'll bet.
And the thing about that is it's one of the most well-known Christmas songs. And a lot of them sound like, hey, we've got 10 minutes of studio time left. What a Christmas song do we all know? Let's knock one out.
Let's knock this out, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't sound real. It sounds like somebody's, you know, let's get a Christmas song out. You know, I listen to My Favorite Time of Year, and whether it's a cover or not, listening to you sing it, it sounds like you believe it.
Yeah, you know, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I did believe it, and I just embraced it. I loved the song, and it sounded to me like an instant classic, which is what I really like about it. And I've gotten so much good feedback about it. And that's, you know, when I did last year's Put Up the Lights, I wanted to write kind of an old timey, fun, follow the bouncing red ball type of song, which that turned out exactly as I intended. And it was a fun song. And then this year's Let It Ring, something slightly different again. I wanted something that sounded like a classic, like something you would hear every year and would become familiar. And I hope we've achieved that. But I'm very proud of that song.
Yeah, I listened to Let It Ring, and it seems like two things at the same time. It seems like a classic, something that you could have seen Andy Williams or Frank Sinatra or Bing or somebody like that, that kind of song that they were singing. And at the same time, it sounds like something brand new, which it is. And that's hard to do, to make it both of those things. But I think
you pulled it
off. Yeah.
Thank you, Ken. Yeah, it felt it's new and something you're not, you've never heard before, but it felt instantly familiar. And that's, that is such a fun challenge. I always like to write a song that I would love other artists to cover, you know? And I think Let It Ring is one that, you know, maybe somebody might want to cover at some point, because I think it does have a classic feel to it. And it's very uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. And I could absolutely see other singers, other bands putting their spin on that. I think that would be great.
Oh, thank you.
Last year's song, Put Up the Lights, much different than both of these others, which are different from each other also. Put Up the Lights, much more sort of, it's not a novelty, but it's more whimsical.
That's a perfect word. I wouldn't have thought of that word. That's exactly the right word, whimsical. It's a kind of a goofy, fun, old-time, I wanted to write a song that sounded like something that you would have seen in those 60s Christmas shows that we all watched, whether it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, you know, Twas the Night Before Christmas, and all of those shows, that kind of silly, whimsical, to use your word, Christmas song that makes you smile. It's, you know, it's not a big sweeping song. It's kind of a catchy little ditty and silly little song that puts you a smile on your face and puts you in a good mood. That's what I was going for with that song.
Yeah, it instantly brings visions of a snow-covered neighborhood and Dad's out on a ladder putting up the lights.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's that kind of, that little bit of playfulness that I wanted in that song.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's each one of these Christmas songs is as much different than the others, which is also terrific. And one of the things I love about Christmas music is that you're allowed to do that. It doesn't all have to be cookie cutter, same genre. Everything can be different. And that's happened again and again with these three songs. And I think that's great. And I'm hoping that there's more to come.
You know, I'm working on some other, I have some, I think, good ideas, but thank you for noticing that and saying that, Ken, because you're absolutely right. You know, one of the nice things about doing holiday music is that with a Christmas song, it doesn't have to be the genre that you normally work in. You can experiment a little bit. This one, Let It Ring, is a little bit more kind of the Americana genre that I tend to work in, not exclusively by any means, but it's a little bit more like, but My Favorite Time of Year and Put Up the Lights, totally different tunes. But, you know, the genre isn't as important as the message and the feeling that it conveys, you know, and the celebration of the season and the nostalgia that you tap into, but also the aspirational qualities of the holiday season that you can tap into as well. That's what really matters about it.
And I love that each one of these really embraces the season. It's something that's relatable to everybody. Each one of these songs, you can feel that without it being preachy about you have to do Christmas one way or you have to do it the other way or whatever. It's just, you know, it's all of the best parts of the season, and it feels like it just embraces it, and you listen to it, and you feel that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's the, you know, that as the title of the first Christmas song I released says, my favorite time of year, it is my favorite time of year. So I want those songs to reflect that. And, you know, and to your point, it doesn't, we can call them Christmas songs, holiday songs, they're Christmas songs in that they celebrate the Christmas season. But they're more than that, in that, to me, the season itself transcends a lot of things. And it's a season that everybody can celebrate in many respects. So, it's about goodwill. It's about exchanging gifts. It's about being with family and friends. So these songs, while they specifically reference Christmas, they really are holiday season songs in that sense, in that I think anybody can enjoy that season, regardless of your religious beliefs, your faith, wherever you come from. We can all appreciate the goodness of that season and the meaning of the season beyond just the obvious, you know. And right. I think those songs, just like those old Christmas specials, they celebrate the season as much as anything else.
Right. And not a Christmas song at all, but you also just released another single, and the tie-in to the season, I would think, was the spotlight you're shining on the homelessness situation with the song Janet.
You know, Ken, thank you for asking about that song. Janet is... it is, and that is the tie-in, because this is the time of year when November, I think, is Homeless Awareness Month, and this is the time of year where we often think of those less fortunate in a renewed way. And Janet is a song that I've performed live for two or three years now, but we've never released. And it is literally the name of an actual person that is homeless that lives in the community where I live here in the Bay Area, whom I know, who I see and speak to. Anybody who spends any time in downtown Walnut Creek knows who this woman is, Janet. And, you know, it's such a vexing problem for this area, but for the entire country. A lot of it is fueled by the opioid crisis. A lot of it is fueled by mental health issues. A lot of it is fueled by the expense of living today. It's kind of a Hydra-headed problem. But she is a real person. And I wanted to comment on this issue that we have yet to solve. And as the song says in Janet, did you wear a ponytail? Were you once a daddy's girl? You know, basically, how did your life come to this? You know, and not just her, but anyone in that situation, because nobody, as the song says, nobody plans this. Right. And, you know, I just wanted to explore and humanize that problem a little bit with this song. But these are good people in most instances who just fell into a terrible set of circumstances. Sometimes it's their fault, sometimes it's not their fault, but nonetheless, they're our fellow human beings. And I think how hard their lives are. And, you know, we come home to our warm homes and they live out on the streets in very typical conditions with shortened lifespans and just a lot of misery. And I just wanted to comment on that.
And I hope I'm getting this statistic right. I know I had seen somewhere that the majority of Americans, whether you want to think about this or not, are like 2 to 3 paychecks away from being on the street.
You know, it's
staggering.
It's staggering. That's what they say. I'm a little skeptical of the number, but the point being, it could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
And that's the overall, whether that statistic is literally accurate or not. Maybe it is, but I think as a reporter, I'm always a little skeptical of numbers like that. But the point being, none of us, it could happen to any of us with a certain set of circumstances or a certain set of decisions. Things can change very dramatically in our lives. I'm glad you like that song. It's certainly an Americana rock and roll song, but it's got a lot of a heart because it's about something very, very real and it's poignant. And I'm happy to release it. I'm hoping to use it to raise awareness. We've got some other plans regarding how to use the song in a way that can raise awareness and maybe some money to help support the problem. So we're working on that. But I wanted to get the song out.
I was going to ask if it was tied to any charity or group or anything, but I guess that's to come.
That's to come. We're working on that. I have some very good contacts and ideas about how to do that. And that's why we wanted to get it out before November, this Homeless Awareness Month, to maybe, you know, capitalize on that timing to make a difference with the song, see if we can raise a little money.
Since we have gotten a little bit away from Christmas music, I want to mention some of the other songs that you've released this year. Just so anybody who hasn't heard you on this podcast or on numerous other places gets that you're not just a Christmas artist. Nothing against those who are. And I'll put a link down in the show notes to previous appearances so people can listen to that without turning this into a rerun. But before you released Janet a month or two ago, Get Lost, a much different song, obviously. Kind of almost a Jimmy Buffett sort of vibe.
That's what I was going for. It was a summertime release, July. I think we released it in July. It could have been August, but I think it was July. And I wanted a summertime, fun, toes in the sand song that just made you feel like, you know, getting away to the islands. And it has a little bit of that Jimmy Buffett vibe to it. And with the sentiment of Eddie Money's Two Tickets to Paradise, you know, that kind of just that's, yeah. And the song, I love the title sounded like it was going to be a different kind of song. Get Lost sounded like it was a mean-spirited title in some way, but it's not at all. It's about, come on, don't you want to get lost with me? Let's, you know, stick our toes in the sand, you know, feel the breeze in our hair. That was the vibe of that song.
As a contrast, Small Town Nights also has sort of an Eddie Money kind of vibe, maybe mixed with the Eagles a little.
Yeah, maybe. And also Mellencamp, you know, Small Town Nights is a song. I'm really proud of that song. It's got some, both of those two that you mentioned have gotten some radio play in different places, including the UK and Ireland, which I'm really happy about. Small Town Nights, you know, I'm from a small town. So a college town in North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And as the song says, drive rolling down Main Street, windows down low, radio blast and got nowhere to go. And the song is like, small town nights are where I belong, living all my life, like a John Cougar song. It's one of the lyrics, you know, so it's celebrating small town living, celebrating. It's not just nostalgia, because I didn't want to just look back. I wanted to look forward. It is aspirational in that in this really complicated, fast moving digital age, I think simple pleasures are more important than ever. And, you know, literally, yeah. As the song talks, you know, driving to the diner or whatever those simple little small town type pleasures, I think are as important now as ever, even in a big city. Just getting away from our technology, getting away from social media a little bit, and just having some good, clean fun. Uncomplicated fun. And that's what this song celebrates. It's not just nostalgic at all. It's kind of a call to enjoy life in a slowed down way sometimes.
So outside looking in, the other single around the beginning of the year, I think, much different than both of those.
Yeah, it is. That's another really fun song that it's called Outside Looking In. And the reason I wrote that song, Ken, was we all have those moments in our lives, no matter what we do for a living or what our life experience has been. And sometimes it's as an adult, sometimes it's a kid. We've all had those experiences where we feel like we don't fit in. We don't belong. We're on the outside looking in. And I have had those experiences myself. I remember being in Savannah, Georgia with my 22 years old with a resume tape of my work on television, hoping to get a job, hoping that the news director would even see me. I didn't have an appointment. And I was sitting in the lobby and waiting, hoping the news director would see me. And there were pictures of the anchor team on the wall. And I suddenly had this just rush of insecurity and the sense that, what are you doing? You're making a fool of yourself. You're not someone whose face they put up on the wall of a TV station. This is silly. I felt like I was on the outside looking in. And if, you know what? Now, years later, I am a face they put on the wall of a TV station, because you just have to stick it out and you have to push through those moments. So this is, the outside looking in is very much a boy gets the girl story, but it's a boy on the outside looking in. And it's a sweet song and it's catchy, but that's what that's about.
So two singles just out, Janet and Let It Ring. And I hate to even ask this, but what's coming next?
Well, it's so nice to ask. I've got two songs that will be coming out. One that I'm working with a very well-respected choral group to sing background on. And that's coming up soon. We're going to perform it live at this major event at the end of November in San Francisco. And I'll release a song around that as well. And they're going to use it for a year-long campaign. That song is coming soon. And then I have another one that is that I wrote when my wife and I were heading to see friends in Reno, and she was doing some legal work. She's an attorney. And I was just daydreaming, driving the car. And I thought, well, let me write a tune. And I wrote a really fun, I'm as excited about this song as anything. And it's Bill Bentley and I put together a fun song around this. I wrote a really neat lyric. And it's kind of a jangly, ragged, Stonesy, Americana rock and roll tune with a really fun lyric and very catchy. So that's coming soon. Then I'm sitting on about 15 others that I'm coming as well. I've got a bunch.
And you had mentioned some events coming up. I know that in this past year, you're part of the Heart of Silicon Valley Series Fun Children's Network event. Can you talk a little bit about what that was about?
Yeah, this event was it's founded by Paul Newman, and his daughter is involved. And that was a really powerful, just a private fundraiser to raise money for this charity that supports giving children really unique opportunities and lets them be kids and play. And that was something that I think was important to Paul Newman. And I've done so many events this past year that have been really, really impactful on me, you know, that have been moving. And, you know, it's such a privilege to be asked to do some of these things. And I'm just terribly grateful for it. I was just at an event and I didn't have any official role other than just to represent the television station, but Brandi Carlile performed, private party event. She's amazing. Matthew McConaughey is there. Will I Am, I chatted with him, and who was very, very nice. And Rob Lowe, who I didn't get to speak with, but you know, and what a privilege to get to do some of these things and to be in these environments. It's always an education. It's always inspiring, and I'm always deeply grateful for the opportunity to be involved in different things.
What's the best way for people to keep up with you? I know that for your shows, you're on Bands in Town.
We're on Bands in Town, and you know, the website is danashleymusic.com. We try to keep folks up to date there. You can always see where we're playing, and danashleymusic.com is the town is the .com rather is the website. I'm doing something this year too, which is fun. Libraries have always played an important role as I was a kid, as a place of repose, as a place of reflection, as a place of education. So for fun, a guitarist and I are doing this series of small performances at local libraries, main libraries around in a certain part of the Bay Area. And we've done a series of them, and they're just really well attended and just a lot of fun. It's just a fun acoustic performance. So I've really enjoyed doing that.
A great idea. I love libraries.
Me too, right?
I think that there's a misconception that a lot of people have about what a library is, and there's so much more than just books. Not that books aren't important, but there's so much more available to you at your library. You should, if you don't have one, get a library card from your local library and go by when you have some time and check them out. You'll be amazed at videos and periodicals and so much.
You can access the web there. Of course, they have a lot of books, but it's a place to meet people. It's a, you know, many of them have little areas you can get a cup of coffee. And I mean, it's a social thing too. And I agree. That is so well said, Ken, and right on the money, because I think they're treasures. And in again, in this digital age, we need to really value these. I think people think of a library as old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned at all. You know, it's not old-fashioned at all. And as I tell people when we perform, I'm actually doing one tomorrow, you know, normally you have to be quiet in the library. We're going to get to make some racket here today by singing and carrying on. So that's the kind of thing you can do, you know, the kind of experience you might have at the library. They have all kinds of programs at many libraries, speaker series, all kinds of things going on. It's not just a place to just shh and read your book, you know.
Yeah. And speaking of books, and I know this has to be true in more libraries than just mine, I'm in a small town on the Atlantic side of Florida, adjacent to other small towns. So our library is not a giant multi-level building. It's just a simple one-story thing. But if I go in there looking for something and they don't have it, because so much is digital now, they find out what library does have it and they get it for
me. Wow. Wow. They'll help you. That's great.
Yeah. And that's terrific. And if they can't do that, or it's a new book that they don't have, you can ask them to get it, which helps
and
the authors too. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And, you know, again, you know, the printed word is so valuable. And so there's something, it's a different experience to read it on a page versus a screen, whether it's a book, a magazine. And these days, so many newspapers are going away or not offering printed versions. Same with magazines. Remember, you used to go to the grocery store and there'd be a big half an aisle full of magazines.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even have them anymore most of the time. You can't even find a magazine at the grocery store. Maybe a few at the checkout counter, but that's it.
Yeah. And music. Libraries have music that you can check out.
That's true, actually. Sure. I remember when in college going to the library to listen to music for a music class I was taking.
Yeah. There's just so much. Go check out your local library, and that's the end of my PSA about that. Dan, what have I missed? What did you wish? Is there anything that you wish I would have asked about?
No, you're so kind. You asked about everything, and you've always been so generous with me. I love our conversations. They're always wide-ranging. And, the impetus is always a Christmas tune that I've released, and we can talk about that. But you're so great at making the conversation broader, just on a wide range of topics. I mean, we literally discussed, the homeless crisis, the importance of libraries. We hit a lot of neat themes today that, one of the things I just so treasure about music is it brings people together. It brought you and I together. It brings you and your audience together. And the tie-ins are universal and very wide-ranging. And so I appreciate our conversation very much. I always do. We have great conversations.
Oh, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. And there's so many things I love about Christmas music, but one of the things that I love about it is that people are starting to get that you can love Christmas music, whether you perform it or whether you are just a fan, and you can have interest in other things, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because the Sounds of Christmas, this is our 20th season. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I do love Christmas music. I love the Beatles and the Stones too. And and so much music outside of that. And obviously I love my local library, but there's just so much more. I mean, this podcast is about Christmas music and related topics, but I get that everybody is, everybody might love one particular thing, but that doesn't mean that they don't have interests elsewhere. So it's always nice to, and I think it gives listeners a feel for who you are.
Yeah, and I think that's important. If your music is something that resonates with them, or they enjoy knowing a little bit about the person behind it, I think that's what I enjoy when I discover an artist, is what makes them tick, who are they as people, what motivated them. And, this, your podcast and what you do with The Sounds of Christmas is so fun and so needed and necessary in a sometimes challenging age to forge connections. But the key is it's Christmas music and underlying music. And that's the underlying overriding aspect of what you do. It's music, whether it's Christmas music or any other kind of music. Christmas music is just a very specific genre. And it's a very uplifting, fun, sweet, frankly. There's an innocence to Christmas music that I love. But it's music. And so you can enjoy all types of music, but appreciate what Christmas music is, not just during the season, but all year long.
Is there a social media site or sites that are best for people to keep up with you?
Oh, you're so nice, Ken, to ask. Yeah, the website, again, Dan Ashley Music, but that's also the social media, whether it's X or Facebook or Instagram. Dan Ashley Music is where you can find. And my professional, because I'm a professional singer, but my work one is Dan Ashley ABC7, too, all my socials.
And there are links to those on your website?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll make sure to put the website and Bands in Town down in the show links as well. Dan, always so much fun to talk to you. Thanks for cutting out some time in your busy schedule and hopping on here with us.
Ken, you're a good friend, and you're a good friend to me, but a good friend to Christmas music and to celebrating this season. And it's showtime for you. We're coming up on the busy time for you. I just am terribly grateful to you for having me on, and so appreciate our relationship. Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening and helping us share some Christmas spirit and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. I'll put a link to that down in the show notes too. And you can click on that and find your favorite, then click on over and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.